Morning, everybody. Today I'll be reading Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Beginning in October of 2016, Andrew Brunson was held in Turkey as a political hostage, accused of having links with an organization involved in a failed coup attempt. And what we know about his imprisonment is that the president of Turkey was keeping him in prison for diplomatic leverage. Trials for Andrew have not gone well, but he had the opportunity while he was in prison to preach the gospel. In the courtroom, he forgave those who had testified falsely against him. Brunson said, "My faith teaches me to forgive, so I forgive those who testified against me." Another pastor who was present at the trial said, "As usual, there was much spurious testimony against Andrew. His testimony was absolutely powerful. He presented the gospel with confidence and defended himself with boldness." In a Facebook post, Andrew's wife, Noreen, posted that the Lord was absolutely glorified. He explained why he was here, and he gave the gospel. He publicly forgave all those who have come against him, forgiving as he has been forgiven. She continued with these words, "He said, 'It is a privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ. Blessed am I as I suffer for him. Blessed am I as I am slandered. Blessed am I as I am being lied about. Blessed am I as I am imprisoned. Blessed am I as I share in his sufferings.'" She wrote, "I am incredibly proud of him, as I am quite sure he doesn't feel that blessing at this point. Thankfully, he was ultimately released last year from prison, and now he is free. But he has blessed many people in the process of his imprisonment." This is the fifth and final message in a series of messages on unity. And what we're focusing on today in Colossians chapter 3 are words that remind us of how to treat one another. We read in verse 12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I don't know how much time you spent this morning looking at yourself in the mirror. You perhaps were checking to see if everything looked right, if everything matched, if the colors worked together. What these verses are sharing with us is that we're clothing ourselves for God with virtues. This passage says something very powerful to you and to me, that we're to be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's the outfit that God wants us to wear on his behalf. This clothing is summed up in the way that we speak. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, we're told by God to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We're told in Proverbs 25 that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We're told in the book of Proverbs as well, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It was Jesus Christ who said that we would be held accountable for every careless word that we speak. And so the emphasis over and over and over again in the scriptures is, watch what you say. Be careful about how you talk. In the 19th Psalm, in verse 4, we hear these stunning words from the psalmist. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What the passage is telling you and me is that it should be a goal of ours in the way that we speak to please God. And so, before opening our mouths to say something that perhaps is unkind or critical or negative, we should step back and ask God, will you be pleased if I speak these words? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, we read, so we make it our goal to please him. So the question on the table for everyone in the room this morning is it our goal to please God? Is that our goal? Because if that is our goal, it will impact the way that we speak and the way that we talk and the way that we treat people. It was George Washington Carver who once said, how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong. Because someday in your life, you will have been all of these. And so this reminder from George Washington Carver says that we treat people the way we want to be treated because we'll be in those shoes one day. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, we hear the words, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The word for bear is a really wonderful word. In the Greek language, it is aneko. And what it implies is to be tolerant of others, to endure, and it signifies a degree of patience. What's being said here in this verse is that if you've been forgiven by God, then you should forgive others too. According to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit resides in you. A good daily prayer for an impatient person is to ask the Holy Spirit to take control of your life and ask him to remind you of how much you have been forgiven. When God begins to remind you of all that you have been forgiven of, it will then help you to forgive other people and to be patient with them as well. These virtues that are being described here in Colossians 3 are essential for unity. But that's not all it takes. In verse 14 of Colossians 3, we read, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So it's like a belt. Love holds it all together. Love helps us to forgive, to offer compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness, and patience. Dear friends, loving one another is the key to unity. Do I love the people that I'm sharing this space with? Do I love the people that I share my workspace with? Do I love the people that I share my home with? For if we love one another, we will practice these virtues and then we will be united. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. The word for same in the original language in Greek is autos. So a good way to remember that word is that if you're going on a vacation with your family, you'll be most likely to end up at the same destination if you stay in the same auto with the rest of your family. We need to have the same love, a love for God and a love for each other. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." So if Jesus is saying that, and he's calling it a command, that means it's not an option. How did Jesus love us? He laid down his life on the cross for you and for me. He gave his blood as a sacrifice for all of our sins. And so what Jesus is saying in John chapter 13 is that you're to sacrifice for others. That's how you're to demonstrate love. And so it makes you want to take a moment and reflect before you speak and before you act and say, am I sacrificing myself for the sake of others? In Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." There is an emphasis in this passage on thanksgiving. And so it behooves us each day to take a few moments to reflect on all the things for which we are thankful. When it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," it should remind us that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He's in charge. He brings peace. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I grew up in the 1970s, and there was a misconception that was shared by an awful lot of people. It was the belief that peace is the absence of war. And that's not peace. That's not how the Bible describes peace. The world's peace is the absence of war, but the Lord's peace is thankful people working together in unity. The word for peace in the New Testament is eirene, and it's based on the root word eiro, which means to join together, to be whole with one another. So if I am at peace with my brother, I'm not 100 miles apart from him. I'm sitting with him. I'm talking with him. I'm partnering with him to do the things that God wants me to do. That's peace. That's not the absence of war. That's two people who have joined their hearts together and they're loving God together. They're in unity one with another. We read in the 16th verse of Colossians chapter 3, "Let the message or the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." I don't know if this has ever occurred to you or not, but you're unified when you worship God. When you sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God, you're singing the same words. It's one of the few moments in our week where we're on the same page with each other. We're singing the exact same words unto God. We're giving praise to God, and we're not going off on our own tangent, which is what we have a tendency to do. And that's why it's so important to come together and to sing songs and spiritual songs unto God. With gratitude in our hearts, we receive wisdom from the Bible, but we also receive wisdom from the songs that we sing. I hope and I pray that as you worship God and as you sing hymns and praise songs unto God, that you experience that unity and that you feel within your hearts the very words that you are singing unto God. And it helps you to be thankful. Thankful people are at peace with God, and thankful people are at peace with the world. It says in verse 17 of Colossians 3, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is a challenging verse. Stop and reflect for a moment on what it's saying. Everything that we do in life should be representative of Jesus Christ. If I can't say it in Jesus' name, I shouldn't say it. If I can't do it in Jesus' name, then I shouldn't do it. I stop and I reflect for a moment. Lord, can I do this in your name? Can I say this in your name? Can I be this person in your name? And if I cannot, and if he says to me, that's not me, Ken, then I should not do it. I should not say it. I should not act that way. Because he's holding me together. Friday evening, my wife and I had dinner with our son and his wife and their two little boys. We were in a restaurant in Covington. And after our meal was finished, we went outside and took a walk. We walked on a bridge that you may have seen before. It's the Roebling Bridge that spans the Ohio River. That's an amazing experience to walk on that bridge because it was constructed in 1865 and 1866. It's been around for a long, long time. Our city's history can be traced to some of the needs that were present between one side of the river and the other side of the river, and that bridge was a solution to what was making it challenging for both sides of the river to get along. And so if you think about that bridge for a moment, as we were walking on it, I was noticing everything that holds it together. Concrete, bricks, wires. There's a sandstone foundation to that bridge. There's so much that's been holding it together over all these years. Now, dear friends, this church is a bridge. It's a bridge for people to cross over to get to Jesus Christ. And so what's holding us together? It's Jesus. Jesus is holding us together. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jesus holds you together. Jesus holds your family together. Jesus holds the church together. That's where we have love. That's where we have unity. That's where we become the bridge that people cross to find Jesus Christ. Doing things in Jesus' name means doing the things that Jesus would do. When we do that, we will experience love and unity. Thank you, Father, for these amazing words of Scripture that remind us to be in unity one with another. Help us, our God, to be that bridge that people cross to get to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our concluding hymn is number 493. We'll be singing stanzas 1, 3, and 4 of It Is Well With My Soul. If you have a need for prayer, please come to the front and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you. May we all stand.